It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a beautiful day. I'm glad that you've joined us. We're in the book of Malachi, enjoying that study. So please open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 1, and we'll finish that chapter and get into chapter 2, I believe, today. And so please open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 1, verse 13. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341, and that would be Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check our website out, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Many studies there. Hope that you would enjoy them, help you to grow, help you to come to know the Lord Jesus. Our Constitution, Plan of Salvation is all there. So please enjoy it. Many studies as well. If you'd like to email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com, either one is just fine. I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, prepare for the study. Malachi, chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 13. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Chapter 2, verse 1. Now, O ye priests, this commandment is to you. If ye would not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse unto you, and I will curse your blessings, and ye have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed, I will spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of peace, of life and peace. And I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feareth me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. They should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial to the law. We'll end with that section, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you for the opportunity to read your precious word. I ask that you will guide and lead us each and every day. It's so important, Father, that we follow your way and will, and we do it so miserably, Lord. We just ask that you forgive us and will set us free and set us on the path of righteousness as we study your word and enjoy your precious word. As we look at the folks around this time here, we're about 400 years before the birth of Christ, and and your son. And before he came to earth, the priests were a mess. The people were a mess. They did not worship your name. They did not serve you properly. And sad to say, Father, it seems that we have maintained or returned to that same area today. Preachers don't preach the truth. They give their own little saying, compromise with the word, and so sad, Father. Just please guide and lead us each and every day. Speak to all of our hearts now. Bring the folks to salvation through this study, that they will come to know you, not through my words, but through your words, that the Spirit of God will touch their hearts and they'll be born again. Please, dear Lord, today that would come, that they would be born again and be saved and then serve you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this small little book, the last book that was recorded for us and given to us, and it was a 400-year period there before we start into the Gospels there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there was a silent years that was found, and there was a reason for those silent years, is because of the mess that everything was in. And it started with the leadership. And we find that here as we look at this chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Malachi are dealing, you know, the people were bringing sacrifices and offerings in that was lame and sick. It's so sad, the condition of the flock. Look at verse 14, cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male and voweth and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing, something that was less than perfect. And we find in the 13th verse, we have, ye have brought that which was torn and lame and sick. That's what you've offered to me. So sad. This word here, the scripture begins in that 13th verse in a word that, behold, what a weariness it is. He said also, what a weariness it is. We see that in church today. Oh, I guess I'll be back on Sunday night. Well, I suppose I can come on Wednesday night. I suppose that I could, I think I could teach a Sunday school class, but you know, it's awful tough for me to get up and get to Sunday school. That's difficult for me to do, to get up and my land, it does start at 9:30, you know, and so that's difficult for me to wake up on a Sunday morning and get to Sunday school. My dear friend, there's no excuse for that. No excuse. We get everything else done. We do everything else. But we do not fashion ourselves and prepare ourselves and get up and get going. You can travel, you know, from this area here, why it's 3 hours to St. Louis. You'll go to St. Louis. You'll sit in the car. You'll fight the traffic. You'll fight the crowd. And you'll go to a baseball game, a football game. And you'll sit there for 3 or 4 hours, people yelling and screaming. Do it in the heat, do it in the cold, and pay good money to do it. Pay a lot of money to get there, may even stay the night. You know, it's time you get done with the game. If it's a night game, why, it might be 11 o'clock or 10:30, 11 o'clock or later. So we'll just stay the night and come back the next day. So you have the expense of the hotel. You have the expense of the things that you purchase at the ballpark. And you have the expense of going and then the sitting there on those uncomfortable seats for, you know, 3 or 4 hours. And yet, you turn around then on Sunday morning, and you seem to be uncomfortable sitting in a pew for an hour, 2 hours. If you come to Sunday school and church, you know, it's quite a load for me to come back on Sunday nights. You know, that's quite an expense. You know, I got the gas and everything involved to come, and it's just quite an expense. Do we know who we're talking about here? We're speaking about our God that saved us, that died on the cross for every individual that's ever lived, sacrificed his life for ours, paid the price, took our sin away, and all we need to do is come by faith and receive that free gift of salvation, and we are a child of God, born again, and we'll spend eternity with him. We have all the benefits of being a child of God, the peace, the joy, the strength, the wisdom, everything that comes from being a child of God when we come and we serve him. And yet we come and it's too much for us to sit in church. That's just too long to sit. I just can't do that. We got our priorities messed up. Said, well, if the preacher was as exciting as what that ball game was, I'd go. We're coming here to listen to the Word of God, to be told the Word of God, and let the Spirit of God come into our hearts as the Spirit administers the Word to us, to introduce to us the Lord Jesus to begin with, and then to show us who he is. And, of course, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, then introduces us and brings us to God the Father. What a joy to serve and praise the Creator of the world, the Savior of the world, to come and hear the Word of God. You know why it's a weariness for you to come? It's because you haven't surrendered your life and heart to him. You say, oh, yes, I'm saved. I didn't say you weren't saved. I said you haven't surrendered your heart and your life to Jesus. Because when you do, you're going to enjoy coming. You're going to come and hear the Word of God, and you're going to be blessed by the Word of God. You're going to be blessed by God himself when you come and bring the proper offerings and sacrifices. Do you just dribble into the offering tray what little is left, or do you give him your first, your best? Do you come and serve him with your best, or do you kind of drag in and you look at the house of God and you're supposed to be, you know, maybe taking care of part of the facility here, whether you do the cleaning or the vacuuming or the mowing or the snow removal or whatever part that you have, turning the lights on in the morning, getting the heat on, or the air conditioning. We got air conditioning, you know. You don't even have air conditioning when you go to a ball game. Don't have heat when you go to a football game. But that doesn't deter you from going, because I'm going because I want to go. We need that same excitement when it comes to the house of God. And when you surrender your heart to him, you will have that excitement. And all of a sudden, that baseball game, that football game won't be near as important to you. Because to serve God, to praise his name, to mention his name, to speak to other people about the Lord Jesus and his saving power is going to be the thing that's on your mind and on your heart, and you're going to desire to do it. And you're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed. There's the problem. Because the people brought sacrifices in here in Malachi that were much less. They weren't perfect. They were lame. They were blind. They were half dead. And you know, what does it matter? I'm going to keep that good bull, that good lamb. I'm going to keep them, my prized cattle. I'm not about to give that over to the Lord and sacrifice it to him. If you would do that, you can't imagine how you're going to be blessed. Now, there's some preachers that say that, you know, if you give a dollar unto the Lord, then he'll multiply it and give you 10 back. They're liars. But I am telling you that God will bless you. He may bless you financially. He may bless you in many, many ways that surpass a financial blessing. I guarantee you he will bless you. It may not be financially, but he will bless you, and it'll be to a point that you'll have a peace in your heart and a joy in your heart that no one can find. But the people were bringing them. Now, you say, well, there's the problem. No, well, it was. I agree with you. That was the problem. But the biggest problem was that the priest was accepting them. The priest was in the same condition that the people were in. And the priests are the ones that should be on fire for the Lord and know what's right, know what's wrong, and not accept these offerings and say, what are you doing? And you know, it's the same way around the church today. You have to ask the people sometimes when they come, and they kind of come grudgingly to help and do work and service around the church. And they can't, well, you know, boy, I really don't have time, but yes, I'll do it. But then they don't do it to their best ability. They'll look around and say, oh, looks okay to me. Looks okay to me. Well, it doesn't look okay unto the Lord. And anyone else that's born again and saved, it doesn't look okay to them either. We need to give our best and do our best. And that's the problem today. The problem of today is to follow after the Lord, to serve Him, to praise Him, to be born again, and be excited about serving Him, excited about supporting the ministry that He has given us, this radio ministry, the cost that we have there. The Lord has so blessed us that we could stay on the radio stations that we're on for all these years and continue to proclaim the Word of God. But first of all, the people, they were becoming lax. But all would have had to happen is the preacher needed to stand up and say, I will not accept that. You go back to your flock and you get the best you've got and you bring it and you don't show up until then. That's what they needed to hear from the priest. But the priest was in the same condition that the people were in. And so he said, okay, I'll take it. What's it matter? Because, you know, we're just going to kill it anyway. And so why would you want to kill something that's perfect and good in your flock? And then, you know, here's this sick animal that's going to die anyway. Why don't we offer that as a sacrifice? You see, that's the way people work. But when you're dealing with our God and we're dealing with His perfect holiness, we need to understand that we need to give of our best. We need to give unto Him. We need to praise His precious name. What a glorious day it is to walk each and every day serving God, praising God. And we need to do that. And as pastor of this church, I need to hold the people responsible that they will give of their best. The priest here needed to say, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. And so please that you understand and you realize let's just read what they were doing. Malachi, through the Lord, through the Spirit of the Lord, was speaking to him. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it. Ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. Ye brought that which was torn and lame and sick. And he's not talking to the people. He's talking to the priests as they brought it. There's the problem. There's the problem. You know, we come to church and we stand up and sing a hymn. We sit down. Then we stand up again and sing a hymn. Then we sit down. And then we sit and listen to some words for a little while. Oh, most boring thing in the world. There's nothing boring about the Word of God. There's nothing boring about serving God. But there's something wrong with your heart if you feel that way. Now, you may be in a church that does not preach the Word of God. You may be someplace where the truth is not proclaimed. They've left the good old King James Bible. They've got some other version that they're using. So they begin with the pollution. They begin to set aside the truth. And that's exactly what happened to the priests. They begin to accept traditions and not God's word. They begin to think logically that, why don't we just take this sick animal? Why would we want to take that perfect, best animal that you have and put it to death? How can we increase our herd? How can we make it better? And so the people fell, the priests failed, and God here is very, very disappointed. And I'm going to jump down, and then we're going to come back to the other verses. But let's jump down to verse 3 of chapter 2. If you think God is not holding these preachers responsible, look what it says in verse 3 of chapter 2. And if you don't have it in front of you, I'll read it for you. Behold, I will corrupt your seed. They have been blessed. They get a tenth of everything. The priests got a tenth of everything. Look how wealthy, how much the priests. God took care of the priests. But the priests did not take care of their God. They did not hold the people responsible as they should have. And what's it say here? Behold, I will corrupt your seed. I will spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts. I'm going to shove your face right in that manure pile. That's how I feel about you. This is the word of God. Do you think he's not going to hold these priests responsible for what they're doing? And of course, the people are all losing the blessing too. But they're missing the blessings of the Lord here. And so, as we look at these verses of Scripture, we see that God desires, you know, for us to love him. We should want to worship him. And we may get tired, physically tired of the work when we're doing it, but we're not tired of the work. I get tired, but I never get tired of teaching the Word of God. I never get tired of standing up and teaching a Sunday school class or the message or leading the song service. I never get tired of those things. And many times when folks decide that something isn't necessary to be done, somebody steps up and does it. They're the ones that get the blessing. The people that fail, the people that don't see the need to do that, they're the ones that are being held responsible. And so please, the religious Pharisees in the Lord Jesus' time, he calls them a whited sepulcher. You know, as an example that was given, a beautiful dish, a beautiful, beautiful decorative dish. But you just keep putting food on it and you never wash it. You never clean it. You've lost your first love. Take that dish, clean that dish up, get that old food off of there, and let's start anew. The love of the Lord Jesus we've lost. We need to love the Word of God. God hates laziness. He hates it. He loves those that are ambitious and want to serve him and praise him, want to work for him. We all have responsibilities in the world. We all have our jobs. We all have things we need to do. And yes, physically we get tired. But the things of the house of the Lord should come first. Cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. Cursed be the deceiver. He's talking about the people that brought it and the priest that's offering it. He's calling them a deceiver, and he's cursing them. You want the blessings of the Lord? Do you want the Lord to bless you? Then please serve Him. Serve Him with all your heart. Get down on your knees and ask God to forgive you for your laziness. In verse 2 and chapter 2, if ye will not hear, if ye will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, saith the Lord, I will even send a curse unto you. I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. It all comes to the heart. A lot of people think they're saved. They've said the words, but they didn't mean it in their heart. So it begins there. Salvation comes first. Whosoever shall confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in his heart. It's not something that you can do just whenever you want to do it. The Spirit of God has got to convict your heart, show you that you're an awful, wicked sinner. Have you ever been to that place? That you recognize that you were a sinner, that you were a filthy old sinner? And what am I going to do? How am I going to take care of this? I'm a filthy, rotten sinner. But then just that fast, just that quick, the Holy Spirit will bring you to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Says, here, I have paid that debt of sin. I can make you whole. Just come to me and believe. And if you do in your heart, then you're born again. Now we begin to serve, begin to praise His name, begin to come into the house of God. You hear of meetings that are in other countries, and the only thing they have is a 2x4 or a 2x6 to set on concrete blocks. And they'll come and they'll want to hear that preacher preach the Word of God. They'll want him to speak the precious Word of God. And they'll sit there for hours, many of them standing for hours, not leaving, in the heat, in the cold. They want to hear the Word of God. Where is that desire today? Where is that desire today to hear the Word of God? It seems that it can't be found. It seems that it's nowhere to be found. Unless I can go to a place where I can have my ears tickled and I can really feel good about it, and I can snap my finger, I can bounce my foot a little bit and just really feel good, and I leave feeling good, but the Word of God is not proclaimed, the truth is not taught, salvation is not taught, get out of there. Get out of there. If you're going to a place that is more entertaining than it is for you to sit and listen to one thing, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God. We still sing those beautiful old hymns, and we'll never leave as long as the Lord leaves me here. Because I believe without question He is directing us to sing those old hymns. And I've watched the people today as they would come. They don't even know how to sing those hymns. And you sing those hymns, holy, holy, holy. Oh, there are so many precious, precious hymns that have a wonderful message that touches your heart. Doesn't just tickle your emotions, but it touches your heart, prepares you to hear the Word of God. And you come to hear that precious Word, God's Word. He is holy. The offering that you bring, whether it be of monies or whether it be of time or both, and it should be of both, the value, the character of that offering is coming to the Holy One. You're giving that to God Himself. So you think about that. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?